Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
I want to read one scripture out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and God was speaking to his people. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, this is what God says. He says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path or the path of your ancestors. Ask where the good way is." Some translations say the godly way. "Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul." Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Today I want to talk to you on the subject of it's not the end. It's not the end. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would do a significant work in all of our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen. As we make our way through this series, we're going to look at two definitions of the word crossroad. Two definitions. And the first definition is this: the place where roads intersect. The place where roads intersect. I want you just to imagine a four-way stop, if you would. A crossroad is the place where roads intersect. Here's the second definition that we're going to use. And it is a point at which a vital decision must be made. A point at which a vital decision must be made. And for us, when we are talking about the crossroads of life, it's the place where our life is intersected with pain. It's the place where our life is intersected with tragedy. It's the place that our life was intersected with loss or addiction. It's the place where our life was intersected with failure. It's the place where our life was intersected with mistreatment and misunderstanding. We were just living our life, and all of a sudden, this tragedy, this loss, this addiction, this struggle, this trouble, it just comes out of nowhere, and I'm just living my life, and I find myself dealing with something that's unexpected, and it's at that crossroad that I have to make a critical decision. I have to make a critical decision of how am I going to move forward from this place? How am I going to live my life from this point on? And the trouble with the crossroads is that there are so many voices at the crossroad. There's so many internal voices. So many voices of anger and resentment. So many voices of fear and worry. So many voices of revenge. I've got all of these internal voices that I'm hearing at the crossroads. But it's not just the internal voices that I hear. I'm also having to deal with the external voices. I'm having to deal with the voices of society and culture. Having to deal with the voices of Dr. Phil and Oprah. Yeah. I'm having to deal with the voices of my coworkers and of my relatives. So many voices speaking at the crossroads of life. And for each and every one of us, we all know what it is to come to a crossroads. I mean, it was Jesus that said that when you encounter the storms. He didn't say if you encounter the storms. He says when you encounter the storms, because Jesus knew that all of us would encounter the storm. We would all come to the crossroad. And now our crossroads look different, but so many of the crossroads, they feel the same. Yeah. Maybe you've come to a crossroad in your finances and you're filing for bankruptcy right now, and it really caught you out of nowhere. You're surprised. You never thought that would be you. Or maybe you come into a crossroad in your marriage and you and your spouse have begun to mention the word divorce. Or maybe you're at a crossroads with your children and they are constantly in trouble at school, and you're constantly getting calls from the principal and you're really just out of answers. You don't know what to do anymore. Maybe you're at a crossroads with your job. You keep getting passed over for the promotion, and they're talking about shutting your department down and maybe transferring you somewhere else, and it's just a crossroad of life. Or maybe you're at a crossroad of just a bad decision that you made, and today you're living life with the DWI on your record that you never intended to have, and you never thought that would be you. But whatever it is today, we have come to a crossroads. But I've got good news for you about the crossroads. Because the crossroads is an intersection, not a dead end. See, the enemy wants you to believe that it's over. The enemy wants you to believe that when you get to your crossroads, that he's got you in his crosshairs. The enemy wants you to believe that there is no way out for you. This is what the Bible says about the devil. It says that the devil prowls around like as a roaring lion. He is not a lion, but he is a liar. And so he prowls around at your crossroads and he begins to tell you things like this. There's no way that you're going to make it out. You will be stuck in this forever. There is no way that you will ever get to a better tomorrow. And it is here at the crossroads where the enemy shows up. And today we're going to listen to the story of Kyle and Lisa Ward from right here within our community. And here's what I want you to know about Kyle and Lisa Ward. Kyle was a successful businessman. Kyle had already built a business, sold a business for a good profit, and was getting into his second business. And he had some business things that kind of hit a rough patch and some extended family relationships that weren't really working out through this business deal. And 6 years ago, him and his family came to a crossroad that they never dreamed that they would come to. They experienced a challenge and a difficulty that caught them all by surprise. And I want you to pay attention as we hear their story this morning.
And so here we are in this very difficult season of life. And right in the midst of this difficult season, you chose to ask the wrong person for advice.
I did. It was late at night, and I went over to a friend's house that I knew had some drugs, and I was sharing with him this difficult season that I was in, and he suggested that I try something that I had never tried before, and immediately my mind felt like it just, something switched in my mind where it temporarily relieved the anxiety, the resentment, the bitterness, the pain that I was feeling. And came home that night, had a good night with Lisa, and then the next day woke up and Lisa noticed that something was different and suggested that I wasn't as irritable, kind of fun-loving dad again with the kids. And so the lie that the enemy was telling me was that, this is working for you and this is working for her, and we'll just use this to get through this tough patch or this tough season in my life. I'll stop it just as soon as I get rid of what I've got.
Wow, and before you know it, you are addicted.
Hook, line, and sinker. I took it and couldn't get away from the thing that I thought I was just going to use for a short time period. And I would quit, but I would always go back. Mm-hmm. And it turned into where I was lying. I went 20 years without lying to Lisa. Lisa's always been able to read me like a book, where she could say, you're not telling the truth, and I spill the beans. And I'd reached a point where I could lie to my wife and her not be able to tell it, which was not a good place to be. And I went from never lying to my wife to never telling the truth, because I was trying to conceal the thing that I was hiding from her that I didn't want her to know about. I didn't want to hurt her. And I knew that if she knew that I hadn't quit, like I said I was, it was gonna hurt her.
Wow. So Lisa, so you were here in this whole time of turmoil. You can feel things aren't going well, but now it takes a new step in this journey dealing with addiction. What was that journey like for you?
Wow. I felt like during that time he was gone a lot. I didn't know where he was, didn't know what was going on, and I was left just trying to hold the kids together and the family together, and whenever it finally came to that point, which I'm assuming is what we're talking about, when it finally came to that, the climax point where I had to make a decision for him almost, because I just knew that it couldn't go on like that anymore. It was not gonna happen anymore. He was not gonna be able to come back to this house with our family and make it work.
So you're coming to your own crossroads right there. you're at a crossroads of addiction, right. And you're coming to the crossroads of potential divorce, because there's no way that this can continue on, and we have to begin to get help now. So what step did you take?
The crossroads of addiction, the crossroads of divorce, it's the crossroads of life. It's the crossroads that we come to. But let me just tell you this, they're not the only people that experience a crossroad. You know what the enemy will tell you today is that you're the only person at a crossroad. Everybody else in the room is living on the mountaintop. Everybody else has it all together. Everybody else's marriage is a marriage that's right out of the Bible. Everybody else's life is just, you know, peaches and cream. You're the only dysfunctional person in the room. You're the only person that's at this crossroads, but that's not true, because this Bible is full of stories where Jesus meets people at the crossroad. And I want to go quickly to John chapter 5, and I want to read you a story of Jesus showing up at the crossroad of a man's life. And the Bible says this in John chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, 'Would you like to get well?' 'I can't, sir,' the sick man said, 'for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me.' Jesus told him, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk.' Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking." Here, Jesus encounters this man by the pool of Bethesda, and it is at this pool where the sick and the lame would lay, because what would happen is the Bible says that an angel of the Lord would come down and would stir up the waters. And when the waters would be stirred up, the first person that got into the pool would receive their healing and would receive their miracle. And so when Jesus comes walking by the pool this day, it says that there was a great crowd that had gathered around. And this is what I want you to see in this, is that at the crossroads, there's always a great crowd. There's always a crowd at the crossroads. There was a crowd of sick people. And if you can just imagine for a moment what kind of conversation was happening around that pool. Can you just hear the negativity? Can you hear the despair? Can you hear the hurt and the pain of everybody sharing their sad story, sharing their difficulty around that pool? But you know what I've discovered is that it's not a lot of different at the crossroads today. There are still so many people dealing with huge challenges and crises in their lives. And when you get around those crossroads, so much is still the same. It's hopeless. When you get around the crossroads there, it's despair. When you get around those crossroads, it's anger and it's rage. When you get around those crossroads, it's discouragement. When you get around those crossroads, the same voices are still there. And I love when Jesus shows up, because when Jesus shows up at the crossroads, he asked this man who's been lame for 38 years, he says, "Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well?" And this man, having been in this place for so long, dealing with this condition for so long, he's been in so much pain, dealing with so much, he doesn't even answer the question that Jesus asked. Jesus just asked, "Would you like to get well?" He didn't ask him, do you have the means to get well? He didn't ask him, do you have the strength or the faith to get well? He just asked him, would you like to get well? It's like if I asked you today, would you like to go on vacation? If you answer me with, well, we don't really have the funds, we're trying to save right now, that's not what I asked. I just asked, would you like to? Jesus says, would you like to get well? And the man, out of his pain, he responds and he says, I can't, sir, because, excuse, I don't have anyone to put me down into the pool. But Jesus didn't come to ask him, do you have someone to put you into the pool? Jesus asked him, would you like to get well? Jesus just wanted an answer. Jesus didn't want to hear his excuse. See, when Jesus shows up to our crossroads and Jesus shows up to us and he asks a very similar question, and he shows up and he says, hey, would you like to have peace and joy? Would you like to live a life that is full of purpose? Would you like to wake up every single day excited about life, full of expectation that you can be somebody's miracle today? We respond so many times just like that man responded. He says, I can't, sir. I can't, sir, because I was abused when I was 8 years old. I can't, sir, because when I was 18, I got pregnant out of wedlock. I can't, sir, because I've been divorced twice. I can't, sir, because I've had to file bankruptcy and my reputation in the community has been ruined. I can't, sir, because. Jesus says, I didn't ask you about your credentials and your qualifications. I just asked, would you like for it to be different? Would you like to be well? Would you like for your heart to be healed? Would you like to experience hope on a daily basis? I'm just wanting to know, would you like that? You see, too often we give the great I am our pitiful I can't. Because whenever God revealed himself to Moses in the Old Testament, he says, I am that I am. I am the great I am. But we, at our crossroads, we tell I am, I can't. I can't because. But this is what I love about Jesus. I love this about Jesus because the man gives a faithless response, but it doesn't keep Jesus from giving a faith-filled reply. He says, I can't get in the pool. I don't have what it takes. And it's almost as if Jesus doesn't even hear what he says. Because his lack of faith didn't hinder the faith of Jesus in that moment for believing what was possible for this man. Now, he came to this pool crippled in his body, but he probably came to the pool with a little bit of hope. But the little bit of hope that he had has probably been crushed in the months that he's laid there. But Jesus doesn't show up to his crossroad, and Jesus doesn't show up to your crossroad expecting perfect answers from you. He shows up at your crossroads because he's the perfect answer for you. And he shows up at this man's crossroad, and this is what he says. He says, stand up. Stand up. I believe that Jesus would say the same thing to each and every one of us. If you know today, man, that you're at a crossroads of life, you're at a place that you don't know whether I go left or I go right. I didn't ever plan to be here. I don't have a plan for where I am right now because I never thought that I would be dealing with this at this age, at this season of life, and you are at a crossroads. I believe Jesus' word would be the same to us. Stand up. Stand up. Why do I need to stand up? Because you've got to elevate your perspective. You got to see above your surroundings, because when I'm laying by the pool, all I see is the other people laying by the pool. All I see is the other sickness and disease around me. All I'm seeing is all the hopelessness when I'm laying by the pool. But whenever I stand up, I get a new perspective. When I stand up, I see things that I've never seen before, and I'm able to put my eyes upon Jesus, and I'm able to get my eyes off of my limitations and to get my eyes off of the pool that I thought was my hope, but real hope is standing up right in front of me right now. And so I'm able to elevate my perspective. You see, you have to stand up so that you can see something you've never seen. There's a way available to you that you might not have never even thought of. You have to stand up to see it. Then he says, stand up and pick up your mat. I love this, because he said, you stand up, but now I want you to take action. Pick up your mat. Take control over what's been controlling you. You see, that mat was not just the place where he laid. It was the prison that he lived in. And he said, take it up. And you know what? Maybe you're not laying on a mat today, but maybe you're living in the prison of lies. Maybe you're living in the prison of sin. Maybe you're living in the prison of addiction. Maybe you're living in the prison of being a victim of self-pity. Maybe you're living in the prison. And Jesus says, no, you got to take that up. And I love what it says in verse 9. It says that he rolled it up. Sometimes you need to take the thing that you've been laying in that has been your prison, because Jesus came to set the captive free. And you need to take that thing up. You don't need just to walk away from it. You need to roll it up so that you can shut it up. Because it's been telling you what you could and couldn't have. It's been telling you who you are and who you will always be. And sometimes you need to roll that thing up so that you shut it up, so that it stops speaking to you, so that you can hear the words of the man that's standing in front of you, who has nail scars in his hands, that's telling you about your identity and telling you about your future. But you better shut up the thing in your past. Take up your mat. Take control. And he says, I want you to walk. I want you to walk. I want you to start walking it out. I want you to start moving forward. No, it's not going to look perfect. It's not going to feel perfect. And it's not going to be perfect. But let me tell you what it will be. It will be progress. Amen. It will be forgetting those things that are behind and straining towards what is ahead, as the Bible says in the book of Philippians. That's what it'll look like. Yeah. But you gotta begin to walk it out. You got to begin to live it out. You have to begin to move in the right direction. And I love this story, because Jesus walks right into this man's crossroad. And when he walks into this crossroad, he brings hope and he brings healing. And the same thing that Jesus brings in John chapter 5 is the same thing that Jesus wants to bring to your crossroad. And it's the same thing that he brought to Kyle and Lisa some 6 years ago. Let's hear the rest of their story.
So what step did you take in this journey?
Well, a man that I found to help us in the process, he said, I want to tell you, Lisa, about Eagle Creek Recovery Center. I heard God's voice just tell me, you got to send him here, because no one can reach him but me. Mm-hmm. And I just remember feeling a piece about the choice.
All right, so here we are now, moving to Eagle Creek Recovery Center, 90 days in a drug and alcohol rehab center that's Christ-based. Tell me a little bit about your experience with Jesus in those 90 days.
Well, Eagle Creek was just the perfect place for me to go. And I remember in the beginning wanting to talk about all my problems with the counselors that were out there, and they would say, you know, pray and talk to God about it first. Work, let God sort through what he can sort through, and then we'll deal with the leftover stuff. And God's word just came alive when I was there. And I was able to have a father that I never had growing up, and to work through some hurts in my past. And God just let me know while I was at Eagle Creek that I was dragging some things that I wasn't fit to carry, that I wasn't designed to carry. And God just helped cut some of the chains for us.
So it wasn't just about the addiction.
It was just,
God was doing even
God
the deeper
doing,
work.
Oh, so much work. The addiction was just covering up the resentment, the bitterness, the anger, the unforgiveness that was in my heart. The addiction was just the thing that alleviated the pain.
Wow. So Lisa, while Kyle is there at Eagle Creek for 90 days, tell me a little bit about what those 90 days were like for you in your home.
I didn't know what was going through Kyle's mind. I didn't know if he was going to change. I know he loved his family, and I know that he was wanting to change, but there was going to have to be a lot of changes that happened for him to be able to come back to the house. And I had to come up with a plan B. You know, I had to think that in my mind, what if, you know, but I had to give all that to God and let him deal with my what ifs.
And here we are.
Yeah.
All these years later.
Yeah.
God's done a great work.
Yes.
You know, your crossroad of life, it really led you to the cross, and it created a new road. For both of y'all. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that journey with Jesus over these last few years?
Before I left Eagle Creek, I spent all night one night in the prayer room and just felt like I had a sweet encounter with God that night where he let me know that there were some blemishes in my past, but if I would just hand him the paintbrush and let him finish the picture, that everything would be okay. And that next morning, I just had a peace before coming home. Just knowing that I had worried almost for 90 days, but God gave me this peace coming home, knowing that he was with my family, and he had so much, you know, just trusting him to paint the rest of the picture.
I don't know what we would have done without North Point and you guys and our church family. Just leaning in and getting connected with a community that truly loves you. We just consider it family. God's been so good to us. Mm. It's been so good.
And now you guys were the whole family in Madagascar.
Yay!
In 2017.
Yeah.
What a tremendous change from just the 5-6 years before that, dealing with all the trouble, and now you have your whole family on the mission field, spreading the word of God and being a part of building the kingdom of God on the earth. Tell me a little bit about what that trip really meant to you guys.
That was something that God really put on both of our hearts to take our kids. And three teenagers, they were just a perfect age to go experience that trip halfway around the world and really be able to share God's love and see a part of the world that is in great need.
Yeah.
And we were able to see just people that were so desperate for a Savior and desperate for a miracle. Mm-hmm. And it was a life-changing experience.
So good. Lisa, what did that trip mean to you?
It changed my priorities, my perspective. It broke my heart for what Christ is. And I feel like when I came back that I feel like that he gave me the question to make decisions on whether or not to do things or make decisions for things. Is it kingdom building? What's really important?
Yeah.
Is this going to build my kingdom?
Wow. You know, you go from just a few years before sitting in Eagle Creek Recovery Center to sitting in Madagascar building the kingdom of God with your entire family. It's really a miracle what God can do in just a few years. When you give him your life, when you give him your pain, when you give him your successes, when you give him everything, it's really amazing what God can do.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Crossroad of addiction to the mission field. From being a the place where you feel like it might be all over for me. It might be all over for my family. Maybe I've messed it up too bad. Maybe I've gone too far. Maybe there's no hope for me any longer. The crossroad is not a dead end. It wasn't the end for Kyle Ward, and it's not the end for you. It's just an intersection. It's intersection that gives you choices. And isn't it interesting how what Jesus said in John chapter 5 mirrors what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 6? He says, Jeremiah, I want you to stand at the crossroads. I want you to stand and I want you to look. And when you stand at the crossroads and you look, what you will discover is that there is more there than you thought. Because you thought, surely Jesus is not going to be at the crossroads. I mean, I did this to myself. I mean, I'm the one that made the decisions. I'm the one that put myself here. Surely, I mean, I made this bed. Surely God's going to make me sleep in it now. But when you stand and you look, you realize, wait a minute. Jesus is here at my crossroads. Jesus showed up here for me, and he says, I want you to stand and I want you to open your eyes and I want you to look. I want you to elevate your perspective so that you see this is not a dead end for you. It's not a dead end. It's actually a new beginning. Stand and look. And then he says, I want you to ask. That's what he said in Jeremiah. I want you to ask for the ancient past. I want you to ask where the good way is. Does it sound so much like what Jesus said of take up your mat? I want you to take control of your situation. Don't just lay there anymore. Don't let life just keep happening to you. Don't just close your eyes and shut your ears off. No, ask, because there's people around you that can help you find the good way. There are people around you who can show you the ancient path, the path of the Word of God, the way that God created you to walk and the way that He created you to live. And He says, but you're going to have to stand up and take control. Can't just lay on your mat anymore. You got to stand up and you got to ask. And he said, hey, and then once you get that way, I want you to walk in it. That's exactly what Jesus said. I want you to walk. You stand up, you take up your mat, and you walk. And when you walk in that way, guess what? You find rest for your souls. It's not really important how you got to the crossroad. What's really important is who's there with you. And here's what I want to ask you today. What are you going to allow to define your life? What are you going to allow to define your life? Will it be your crossroads? Or will it be the cross that created a new road for you? What's it gonna be? What will define your life? Will it be that loss? Will it be that pain? Will it be that bitterness and that unforgiveness? Will it be that addiction? Are you gonna find the cross at your crossroads and let Jesus create a new road of victory? And a new road of purpose, and a new road of joy, and a new road of forgiveness, and a new road of love for you. I want you to stand with me all over this place. And before you bow your heads, I want you to look right at me, because I want you to know what the enemy has spoken over your life is a lie. Because he told you it's the end. But God came today to speak over your life and tell you it's not the end. It's not the end. This crossroad is not a dead end. It's an intersection. And God will create a way for you. He will create a way for you. He will create a way out. He will create a way into the next life, the new life that He has for you. He will create a new way for you. And all you have to do is stand at your crossroad and look. Stand and look. Begin to ask people around you to help you so that you can begin to walk down this new road, so that you can find rest for your souls, so that 5 years after your crossroad, you can be getting on a plane and taking your family all the way around the world, so that you can preach the good news of Jesus and declare His faithfulness and declare His grace, and to say what used to have me doesn't have me anymore. The prison that I used to live in is not holding me anymore, because Jesus set me free and He set my heart on fire with a brand new purpose. I want you to bow your heads. I don't know if you're at a crossroad today, and I don't know what that crossroad is. But I know that no crossroads feel good. I know that crossroads are difficult and challenging. I know that the pain is real. I know that the loss is real. But I know that Jesus that's standing at your crossroads is real as well. I believe that Jesus is coming today, just like He came to the pool of Bethesda some 2,000 years ago to speak to this man who had been lame for 38 years. I believe that Jesus is coming to speak to you this morning. Jesus is saying, do you want to be well? Would you like to be well? Would you like to live with joy and peace? Would you like to experience the purpose that you were created to fulfill? Would you like that today? Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I believe that some of you are going to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to stand up. I've been lying down too long. I've been living in that pain too long. I've been living in that loss. I've been living in that disappointment. I've been living in the discouragement. I've been living in this dysfunction. I've been in that too long. Today I want to stand up. I want to elevate my perspective. I want to see it in a different way. Today I want to take up my mat. I want to take control over the things that have been controlling me. Today I need to roll it up so I can shut it up, so that it keeps telling me who I am and what I can and what I can't have. I got to roll it up today, because Jesus has told me that I'm more than a conqueror. Jesus has told me that I can overcome. Jesus has told me that I am valuable, that I am precious, that I am worth dying for. Jesus is speaking an identity, but I've got this mat, I've got this past, I've got this lie, I've got this hurt, I've got this pain, and it keeps speaking to me. And today you know that you got to roll it up so that you can do what? So that you can walk it out. So Philip, I know Jesus is showing up right now at my crossroad. He's telling me, stand, take up your mat, and begin to walk. And if you will begin to walk this journey, you'll discover peace for your soul. There's nobody looking around right now. I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle. I'm not going to have you come forward today. But right now in this moment, you say, Philip, you are speaking to me. I am at a crossroad of life, and I believe today that Jesus is speaking to me. It's time for me to stand up. It's time for me to pick up my mat, and it's time for me to begin to walk this new journey that He has for me. That's you right now in this place. Come on, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, Philip, you're talking to me. Just so I know who I'm praying for this morning, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. You can put your hands down. Come on, can we pray this prayer together? Everybody in the sanctuary, will you pray this after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, Thank you for your goodness and grace. I receive your love and forgiveness today. I believe that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. And I believe that you have a future for me. This crossroad is not a dead end. It's an intersection. And you are making a way for me. And I can stand confidently today, knowing that I am not forgotten, that I am not alone. But Jesus, you are with me at my crossroad, and you will carry me through it. Father, I pray for each and every one, God, in this place today. God, I pray especially for those that lifted their hands a moment ago and said, I'm at a crossroad. Father, I pray today that the story of Kyle and Lisa Ward would fill their hearts with hope, that the story of the gospel today would leave them encouraged and inspired today, knowing, Jesus, that you always show up. God, that you have a word that heals, that you have a word that gives hope. And Father, I pray that we would all leave this place today knowing that this is not the end. This is only a brand new beginning into the future that you are calling us into. And God, we declare that we love you and we're thankful for it today. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.